Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Paul, good morning. I have to check this. I think, let me check this. One of the, I'm going to say it was the shot blocker from Bana, Oshunee. I think he transferred to Iowa State.
Yes,
right?
Oshunee.
I always butcher. I butchered his name the whole time he was at Bana. Anyway, Paul, your Iowa State guys, they're getting a heck of a player.
Actually, two of the Bonnies have transferred.
Oh, is that right?
To Iowa State. I'm trying to think the second guy.
I believe Jaron Holmes.
Ah, okay. See now Iowa State's just stealing players from Bana, so we don't like the Cyclones anymore. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. Thanks for hanging out with us, by the way.
How are you?
Good, good. So you were in Rochester last night. Sounds like it was a great crowd for the game.
Or sellout. It was. I can't remember the last time I was there for a sellout. Marty might have been playing. it was definitely the 90s when I used to do some play-by-play for them.
Yeah.
And the fans, of course, were into it, and it was great. And refereeing—you think refereeing in the NHL and the NFL's bad?
Yeah.
Go to get a steady diet of AHL refereeing. So they were on the refs like right on the puck drop, and they were loud and didn't do it. And you could just see how the Amherst were responding to that. They love that. A guy like Krebs gets so excited about things. I mean, when he makes the pass for a couple of goals, I mean, he's jumping in the air and he really, enjoys large crowds. And he, remember the couple of large crowds Buffalo had? I think he did very well in those games too. He just seems to love it when and plays his best hockey when they have big crowds around.
So it sounded like Paterka was having himself a day yesterday.
Well, yeah, he's having himself a series. I mean, it was a really nice pass because Seth Appert has been dressing 7D and 11 forward, so that gives a couple of guys a chance to double shift. So Paterka very often would go out with the two extra guys, McInnes and Rusick, and Ristolainen does too. And that's when he just made a real pretty play. They got the Amherst on, a really, really nice goal. McInnes hits him in front of the net, and he doesn't even look at Rusick. He's just, he's got his back to him, and he just knows he's there. And just a nice, cute pass between the legs, with his back to him. And basically sets him up with three quarters of an open net. For Rusick's goal. So, that was a nice setup that he had. And the game before that the Amherst tied the series, he had the overtime goal. And he now has four goals and four assists in five playoff games for 8 points.
I remember, when we talked to you about Paterka going back to the preseason, and you had talked about how, you could see the offensive skill, but he was trying to do too much. And obviously, there were things he had to learn in his game. What do you see in the J.J. Paterka you see now compared to the guy you saw earlier this this season, because I think, Paul, a lot of Sabre fans are expecting him to be here next season.
Seth Appert was very clear on it. He goes, it's absolutely his defensive play. His defensive play is what he's improved on the most, and it's led to offense for him. He said Michael Pekka has been working with him, and you know, and Michael Pekka is probably one of the best two-way forwards that's ever played for the Buffalo Sabres, and you know, has really been working on his defense and showing him the way, showing him that, you know what, if you become a decent two-way player, your offense is going to open up for you. You know, by playing good defense and getting back like that, you're going to find that you're going to get the puck back quicker and you're going to be on the attack. And apparently that's, you know, something that Paterka's really been working on, and you know, his defense has led to good transition offense for him. At Seth Appert's, he didn't even hesitate when he was asked about, you know, where the improvement has come in this kid, and he said without question it's been his defensive play which has led to good offense the other way.
Another player who's having a whale of a playoff so far is Arttu Ruotsalainen. And when you were on the other day with us talking about him, so he's a restricted free agent, right? It sounded like you were saying there might not be a place for him here next season. Is it possible the Sabres are changing their mind?
Yeah. I, you know, you just wonder, because that report had come out that he was going to play in Switzerland next year. He's on an expiring contract, and he denied the report, but you have to remember, too, he can't say it's true. He's under contract.
Yeah.
You know, so he can't, oh, yeah, I'm going to go play in Switzerland next year. So, you know, you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. And then next thing you know, Power shows up, and he's got Ruotsalainen's number. It's like, well, all right. It's not like Dave Andrechuk showed up and wanted number 25, and the rookie says, okay, here, Dave, here's your number back. You know, it was like a rookie showed up, and next thing, all right, he's got Ruotsalainen's number. But, and it started not just in the playoffs, because you mentioned, I mean, he's got 6 goals and 2 assists in the playoffs. In overtime, he's got 2 goals and an assist this year. In overtime alone in the playoffs, he started it up in the regular season. I would say probably the last month and a half, he has just been red hot. It was something like, I had looked it up probably 3 or 4 playoff games ago. He had something like 21 points in 16 games or something. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And so then I thought to myself, well, if it's true that the Amerks maybe had thought, you know what, we're going to move on, has this last month and a half changed things? And I've been talking to people who see the Amerks on a regular basis, and one of the things they talked about with him is, like, he finally figured out the North American game. It took him a while to do it, but and it's been in a direct correlation why he's been producing, because, you know, the North American game is now becoming clearer for him. I don't know if I want to use the word easy. I don't know if I want to say it's been easy for him now. But he's figured it out. You know, it's not bigger ice surfaces anymore. It's the smaller ice surface, and you don't have as much time to execute what you'd like to execute. And so, yeah, that's a good question. If indeed the Amerks or the Sabres had decided they were going to move on for him, has the last month and a half just made them, wait a minute. You know, maybe here's the guy that we thought we were getting when we signed him a couple of years ago.
Paul, when it comes to these guys, you know, it's a playoff run for Rochester. I wonder if there's any feeling of the Amerks should enjoy this while they can, because they're going to lose some guys, right? What's the total number you think that end up with the Sabres next year for, we can even say more than half the season, not necessarily like make the roster out of training camp, but how many guys are going to be up here? Paterka, Quinn, of course, Krebs and Samuelson. Does it end there? I mean, could anybody else make the list?
You can just tell the difference in Fitzgerald on the AHL level because of the 30 or so odd games he played in the NHL. He's a different AHL player, much more confident. Not that he wasn't a good AHL player before. That's what got him the promotion to Buffalo, is he was a good AHL player. But I think he's even better now with the confidence he has. And his offense has really come through in these playoffs too, which maybe wasn't necessarily happening you know, when he was in Rochester before. I mean, he's got a goal and three assists for 4 points in five games. You know, so it's not just the defensive part of it, but, you know, the offensive part of it too. He's not afraid anymore to get up in that rush and be up there in on it. So I would think him. Paterka is interesting because I look at the Sabres lineup, and I think Quinn, even though Quinn has really, really struggled in these playoffs.
He seems to be like the only player we don't hear much about.
Yeah, he got his first point in game two on the overtime goal by Paterka. He got an assist. That was his first point. He did score last night. Unfortunately, it was in his own net.
That's quite a turn. Quite a turn of a phrase there, Paul. That is very different.
I think you missed the lead there, Paul. You buried the lead.
I felt bad for him because there was a scramble, and in the middle of the schmozzle, the puck is just sitting in the crease, and nobody sees it. They're all still, you know, around Dell, and scrambling at the puck and like sticking their sticks underneath them, trying to push him in the net. And the puck had squirted off to his left a little bit. Quinn had no idea it was there. It looked like he almost stepped on the puck and kicked it in the net. He had no idea the puck was there, and wound up kicking it in the net for Utica. So it's been a struggle. I know Belleville. You know, they put a guy who didn't even deserve to be in the American Hockey League. Belleville, they believe in to play hockey, you have to beat the tar out of everybody. So they had this goony guy that looked like he was straight out of Slapshot chasing him around the rink the whole time. He's big. You know, he's every time there's a face-off, he's in his face yakking at him. He's hitting him. He's slapping him. He's, you know, slashing him. And he made it, you know, miserable for Quinn to try to play through that series. But it just didn't start then. It was right down the stretch, too, that he was having trouble scoring. And because things got tighter, because every game was a playoff game with that group of teams that were all just bunched together. And they're playing each other to try to get into the playoffs. And it's been a good learning experience, I think, for Jack Quinn. I mean, it's one of those things. I think Jack Quinn's going to get stronger. I mean, his body is not where it's going to end up at, you know, and I think that's something he'll work on in the off season, is trying to get stronger so he can play through this, because Krebs has been able to play through it. Paterka's been able to play through it. It's been a problem for Quinn, and now they got him out there with a couple of veterans, you know, to try to, you know, get him going that way and get a couple of good veterans like Michael Mersch, who's their captain, with him, Malone, who is a good veteran player for him. And he did at least look like he was perking up a little bit in this last game yesterday. He had a couple of good chances, and one he put over the top of the net. But he looked a little bit more like what you were expecting from Jack Quinn. But when you look at guys on the Sabres, I got long-winded because I started talking about Jack. I still think Jack Quinn probably is ahead of Paterka as far as being on the Sabres. And I know this is going to sound goofy with as well as Paterka's playing, but I don't see room for them both right now, because if you're going to put either one of them in the bottom six, there's no point having them here. I mean, to me, they're both top six players, and there's not you know, Gergensen and Oposo, they're very good players, but I just don't see why you would put, like, Paterka on a line with those two. You know, I think he need, in order for him to excel, he needs to be out there in the top six, and right now I don't see a spot in the top six for both of them unless they were to trade Olofsson or something, because Olofsson really became a top six player in the second half of the season this year, which I wasn't looking at him as a top six type of a guy, 5-on-5, but he really improved his 5-on-5 play as the season went on. So one of those two might start in Rochester, with the thought if one of the top six guys gets hurt, he gets called up and he's into the top six, because I just to have him on the team and playing in a bottom six role, I don't see that helping either player.
Paul, how about the NHL playoffs? I've got a couple of questions, but what sits top of mind for you? Toronto out again?
Yeah, but I
feel bad for him, right? Like
No, I don't feel bad for him. But I also don't think it would be wise to blow the whole thing up either. You know, I realize they haven't, but I think you also have to take a look at the playoff format that the National Hockey League has. It's not like the NBA where, you know, if you're a good team, you're probably going to get an opening series against a bad team. That's not the way the NHL does it. So Toronto's always going up against one of the top teams in the National Hockey League in the first round. And I know they haven't been able to get over the hump. Where I would be looking for that team is I'm still – Campbell wasn't awful in that series, to be quite honest with you, but I might be looking to upgrade my goaltending. I definitely would be looking to upgrade my defense. You know, I wouldn't gut the team, but I might be looking to trade one of my better forwards for a really good defenseman. You know, look at it that way. But I wouldn't be thinking, well, all right, Matthews, Marner, they're not getting it done. That's it. Let's get rid of them. Let's start it all over again. Let's just, you know, firebomb this whole thing. I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing to do.
How about going forward? You know, after watching, Howard and I were joking during one of the breaks here, after watching the Rangers knock out Crosby, then win games 5, 6, and 7, and seeing the numbers McDavid's putting up, shouldn't Calgary just put an elbow into McDavid's head and just try to advance the next round? Like, we know the player that does it will be suspended for one game, if that. Yeah, it's obviously it's a tales all the time with the NHL, but the Battle of Alberta, you like that one the most? Which matchup in the second round do you like the most?
Well, Calgary in the regular season scored a lot of goals and didn't play this defensive style, but against Dallas, it was... Now, it wasn't in that last game. Calgary, you know, they even before overtime, I think they had over 50 shots. And it almost was embarrassing to Dallas in the overtime. They just hung Ottinger out. I mean, it was all Calgary. Dallas couldn't even get out of the zone. It was shot after shot after shot after shot. Ottinger was just putting on one of the best goaltending performances you're ever going to see in the playoffs. And, you know, and it was one of those things I was thinking, Dallas is going to win this game, and they had no business even being in this series, yet winning the series. You know, something goofy is going to happen here, and they're going to wind up with a breakaway or something and wind up winning the game. But Calgary really, you know, put it on them. With Edmonton, maybe Calgary, will play a little bit more offensive than they did against the Dallas Stars, but I think Calgary also is going to be able to cut off Dreisaitl and cut off McDavid. I don't think they're going to hurt them as badly as maybe they're capable of doing against some other teams, because Calgary, first of all, they have Markstrom has been phenomenal in goal all year long. And, you know, they can play both offense and defense. They have a team that basically can play it any way you want to play it, you know. And, you know, Dallas wanted to play a good, tough defensive style. Calgary can do that. But they also have the guys who can put the puck in the net and had over 100 points this year and can do that. So, honestly, I think Calgary should be able to hit, even with McDavid in the lineup, I'm thinking around 6 games.
Final thing for me, of the teams that are left, Jeremy and I were talking about this a little bit earlier as well. From the standpoint of you as a hockey fan, what do you think would be the most enjoyable matchup? Is there a particular final you would like to see?
I'd like to see Colorado for sure come out of the West.
Florida.
Carolina.
I was thinking Carolina.
Very good.
My mind was bouncing between both those teams, and for some reason Carolina was more in my head than Florida was for that. So Carolina and Florida both, I think, can get in trouble in goal. They didn't in the last round, which surprised me a little bit, but they both can get a little goofy in goal. But I don't know. I agree with Jeremy. I think Carolina might be the team I'd be looking for if, you know, that I think would be a good series for the finals.
It hurts to say it, Paul, but of all the, you know, we've seen playoff hockey, we see electric buildings, Calgary, Edmonton, even Carolina. Watching that series against Boston, It was insane in that building and made me pine for playoff hockey, being, you know, considering I did watch a game in that building that that they won. It was sad that they won.
Even in the regular season, you know, Mike Maniscalco, who's their play-by-play guy, used to work at WGR. And one of the things I want to ask him is, when did it change? Because when the Sabres were down there for the Eastern Conference Finals, they were begging the Carolina fans not to sell their tickets to Sabre fans. Begging them not to. You know, because first of all, in Carolina, they think the Sabre fans are the most obnoxious fans that ever have walked into the building.
They think that in Columbus, too. We've taken over a couple of places.
Yeah. And, you know, and even then, you walk into a regular season game in Carolina, yeah, and it looked like what the Sabres are experiencing now. And, you know, but it changed. And now people are there for regular season games, and it's loud and it's crazy. And it's even worse on the opponent for the playoffs, where, you know, Domi was saying this is one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in. So I'm just wondering when that change took place, where now they get phenomenal fan support all the time, not just, well, they're a winning team, so we're going to go support them. And maybe that's been the change.
Yeah. You know what?
Since Brind'Amour has been the coach, they've been a pretty exciting team to watch. And maybe that's been the change. It's like, you know what? They win all the time, and we want to go support them. But they didn't really do it until the end of the Stanley Cup run, when they won the Cup the first time.
Maybe it's the storm surge, you know? They got really – seriously, they started
– well, they're fun.
They started playing fun.
Yeah, right.
On the ice, after games, the hockey establishment got mad at them, right? Called them a bunch of jerks. So, I don't know. Maybe that's it.
But, yeah, the fans went to the game and they had fun.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, you know, a little bit like what Sabre fans were experiencing at the end of the year. It was like, you know, wait a minute. This is kind of fun to watch this team. Maybe I'll come back. You know, I'm here for RJ night, or I'm here to boo Eichel, or I'm here for whatever reason you went there. But it wasn't necessarily to go see the team. And they saw the team and thought, these guys are fun, you know. Krebs really is into this thing. I enjoy watching him play. By the way, we didn't mention him. He's got 8 assists in 5 games. Wow. He has no goals and 8 assists. The play he made on the overtime goal to Ristolainen was another just – he sees things before it even happens, and he's been having a great series. But, he you know, just the fun that they're having out on the ice, and I think fans started to relate to that. Because you know where you were seeing it? It's up in the 300 level. I think fans were like, okay, maybe I'd like to come see another game in April, but you know what? I don't want to spend a huge amount of money, so I'll go sit in the 300 level.
Yeah, right.
You know, and go watch another game, because that's where I was really noticing is the crowds were starting to get a little bit bigger. It was up in the 300 level.
Hmm. All right, Mr. Hamilton, good stuff as always. This won't be the last time we're in touch with you, so don't leave town.
I wasn't planning on leaving town, but I didn't know you were trying to get rid of me.
No,
but
that outstanding warrant. I wasn't supposed to say that on the air.
I thought maybe you were trying to get me a job with the Mets or something, and you were trying to get run me out of town or something.
We have standards with the Mets. I'm sorry, you would not be. You're not the kind of person we're looking for.
I remember I sent you my turndown letter from the Mets before their current play-by-play guy got the job.
I'm super late. I'd love to continue this conversation with you, but.
They turned me down.
Smart people.
At least they sent you a letter.
That's right.
Yeah, they did.
Love you, Paul.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.